Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Genesis chapter 4, we find out about Cain and Abel. Cain had a sacrifice that he offered that God didn't accept. And when Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, he was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, he says this, If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now notice he says, sin lieth at the door. In this passage, sin is personified. That means God takes something, sin, and he turns it into something like a man. In other words, with, what do they say, anthropomorphic characteristics, the characteristics of a man. Wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8 is personified and is like a woman. So here, sin is personified. Sin lieth at the door, unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So in this personification of sin, turning sin into like a person, sin lieth at the door. He's like a booger man, lying in wait outside of your door to pounce on you when you come out. When we were children, they always tried to scare us, my brothers, or sometimes my uncle, about telling us about the booger man. We'd want to look out there to see who that was. Of course, there wasn't anybody there, but we were led to believe there was, and so we could be scared. Well, let me tell you something. In the same way that we were scared of that booger man, you ought to be scared of sin outside that door. It's lying in wait outside of your door to pounce on you when you come out. Sin is your living enemy. He showed up as a result of the fall. He has one desire, according to this verse, and that desire is you. And once he has his way with you, he kills you. Now, you get that from reading your Bible. Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So sin is a killer. The wages of sin is death. James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Now verse 15, James chapter 1, verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Death. Sin is a malicious killer. And his desire is toward you, and you are to rule over him. So the question is, how are you to deal with this enemy? And I'll give you four things to do. Number one, get inside the door. Get inside the door. This is like being inside of a house with the door shut and bolted. You say, well, I would, but I don't know where the door is. Well, I do. In John chapter 10, the Bible tells us who the door is and where he is. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The first thing you need to do is you need to get the door. You need to get inside the door. And Jesus Christ is that door. Listen, when you enter in, you are protected from sin because he has already dealt with this enemy and defeated it. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God imputes righteousness to us and takes away our sin when we get saved, because Jesus Christ bore our sins in his own body on the tree, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. Do you understand? Jesus Christ has dealt with this enemy. Jesus Christ died to pay for sin so that we would not have to succumb to the temptations and the rule of this enemy. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7 says that we are supposed to rule over this enemy. And the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. Listen, in Romans chapter 6, speaking of ruling over this enemy, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Paul told the Romans, Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So in Genesis 4, 7, when he told Cain that sin's desire would be to him and he shall rule over it, rule over him, you are to rule over sin in your mortal body so that you don't obey it in the lust thereof. And you do that through Jesus Christ, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now listen, you are helpless against sin without the Lord. I know, you have been to a support group meeting, you read something in a book, you've been to an AA meeting, and you found a way to deal with the alcohol or whatever, or the drugs, through this group counseling, and so you're going, and you sorted things out. I understand that. That's that sin. But what about all the other sin in your life? You say, well, I didn't know I had other sin in my life. You do, and you're helpless. Listen, you are helpless against sin without the Lord. When the Lord was talking to his disciples about sin in their lives, about themselves, he said, You are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, I believe that verse. I know that verse is true. I try to do something pleasing to God. I try to do something fruitful for God. I try to do something about sin in my life without Jesus Christ. You can't deal with it. Jesus said, If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Do you understand? You may have reformed some things in your life, but sin is an enemy that must be dealt with by Jesus Christ. And the way to deal with it is to get inside the door. And Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. So don't mess around with that anymore. I remember years ago, a fellow called me from a radio broadcast, and he said he was going to an AA meeting. And they said, trust the God of your higher power as you understand him. And he said, I had these gods as I understood them, and it didn't work. Then he said, I heard you say on the radio that higher power is Jesus Christ. And he said, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I did that, that's when business picked up in town. He said, I don't have problems with that anymore. Why? He got the door. Get inside the door. That's the first way to deal with this enemy of sin. What's the second way? The second way is, once you get inside the door, keep sin outside the door. Now, if in getting inside the door is like being inside of a house with the door shut and bolted, then keeping sin outside the door is like keeping the burglar out who is trying to get in. You know, it's okay if sin lieth at the door as long as you are inside the door and sin is on the outside of the door. That's far enough. That's good enough. You want to make sure that sin doesn't get on the inside. Now, I realize when you read the Bible, because we're just using this figuratively and in the illustration that the Lord gives us in Genesis 4, I realize that sin is in us. Paul even said so in Romans chapter 7. He said, "Now then it is no more the I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." See that? He says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." So when we say sin is got to be kept outside the door, I realize that sin is in our flesh, but then Jesus is also in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So when I say we don't want to get sin on the inside, I'm speaking figuratively. I'm speaking about the illustration, about the verse that the Lord gave us in Genesis 4:7. We're talking about yielding to righteousness rather than to sin. In other words, if sin is in us, so is righteousness, because Christ is in us. So when he says, "Let not therefore sin reign in your mortal body," in Romans chapter 6, he goes on to say in Romans 6:13-14, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace." You see that? So sin's not supposed to have dominion over you. Why? Because you yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God, rather than as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Well, listen, if you thought a burglar was outside of your house, would you open the door and let him in? I mean, would you go out there and say, "Hey, mister, what you doing out there? Come in here." Would you do that? Of course you wouldn't. I mean, you wouldn't if you didn't want him to ransack your house. You'd make him stay outside. You'd call the police and have him arrested. And yet, when it comes to sin, people open the door to sin all the time. They let sin in through their eyes. What are you looking at? What kind of magazines do you read? What kind of novels do you read? What do you watch on television? What do you look at? What do you look at on your internet? What do you look at on your cell phone? What kind of movies do you watch at the theater? You see? You've let sin in through your eyes. What are you looking at when you're driving around town? What are you looking at when you're walking down the street? What are you looking at? You're letting sin in through your eyes. And it gets on the inside. And sin is supposed to be kept outside the door. What are you letting in through your thoughts? What kind of imaginations do you have? The Lord says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What are you thinking about? What kind of sin are you conjuring up in your mind? What's coming in through your ears? What are you listening to? What do you listen to on the radio? What do you listen to on XM? What do you listen to in your phone, in your iPad, whatever you have? What are you listening to? Have you listened to the words of the music you listen to hear what you're listening to? What kind of stories do you like to listen to when people are talking to you there at the coffee bar, the employee lounge at your work? When you have your conversations on the weekend, what kind of filthy stories do you like to listen to? You letting sin in through your ears? How about through your mouth? What are you drinking? What do you drink? You say, well, my preacher says it's okay if I drink a little alcohol. That Bible says wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. What are you putting in your mouth? What are you smoking? What are you smoking? What's coming in through your mouth? What are you chewing on? Listen, sin is supposed to be kept out the door. What are you looking at? What are you listening to? What are you thinking about? What are you putting in your mouth? I mean, do you understand? You just invite sin right in and say, come in here and make yourselves right at home. And then you're sitting there going, oh, I'm having such trouble with sin. What, you fool? Sin doesn't belong in you. Sin doesn't belong in your home. Kick him back outside where he belongs. Sin lieth at the door. Treat him what he is, an enemy, not a friend. Next, how do you deal with this enemy? You get inside the door, and then you keep sin outside the door. But then the next thing you do is you expose sin to the light. So if you're following along with the figure that the Lord gave us in Genesis 4:7, this is like having security lights around the perimeter of your house, so that you can light up and see the enemy before he gets in. Well, that's Bible stuff. In Ephesians chapter 5, he talks about this. He says, all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And we're to be light. And, of course, we know the Word of God is light. And when that Word of God is preached and when that Word of God is taught, kind of like you're hearing today, it lights things up so you can see. In John chapter 3, verse 19, the Lord said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He goes on to say in verses 20 and 21, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So what are you? You love darkness rather than light? You're keeping your perimeter lights off so you can't see what's happening, what's getting ready to enter your house? Listen, sin is a clever foe. Sin has a way of camouflaging itself so that you don't recognize it. It can be like a chameleon, and with the help of sinners who love sin, sin can be made to look like a friend instead of an enemy. So you invite this friend in and don't even realize that you've just invited in a killer. I mean, none of the disciples knew that Judas Iscariot was a devil. The only person who could identify him was Jesus Christ. So you have to look to Jesus and you have to look to the Bible to properly identify sin. That way you won't unintentionally let him in. Keep plenty of light on from God's words. I'd get to church if I were you. Listen to some good, straight, hard preaching. Shining light on sin so that you can have it illuminated at all times. That way you say, oh, wait a minute, I didn't see that guy sneak in here. And out he goes. Now listen. If you look to the world to identify sin for you, you will never spot him. You'll never spot him. Why? The world is consumed with sin. If you look to school to identify sin, you'll never spot him. School, they don't even mention that word. It's a three-letter word. They say we don't like four-letter words. They don't even like three-letter words. You never hear about sin in school. The media, they don't use that word. They're not going to identify sin for you. The Bible tells us the times we're living in right now, evil is called good and good is called evil. The bad guys now are the guys that are doing what I'm doing, preaching against sin. These are the guys that they want to hush so they can keep painting up sin and make it look like something that you ought to go after. Don't even look to religion to help you identify sin. Religion is helpless to do that. Most religions... We're not preaching religion here. We're preaching Bible here so you can get a good look at this stuff. Don't even look to your friends to help you identify sin. Man, when I go back and I think about my life, my past, the people who got me into the trouble that I got into. Now, hey, I'm the one responsible. Okay, I got that. I got that. I made the choices. Hey, yeah, amen. I got that. But I'm telling you, I have a lot of friends growing up who did not help me identify sin. Rather, they helped me get into it. Do you understand? I already had the propensity for it, and all I needed was a little nudge. Do you understand? Same thing with you. Now, let me tell you something. If you look to the world or school or the media or religion or your friends to identify sin, you will never spot him. He'll be running the show in your house, and you will be severely entangled before you'll ever figure it out. You'll already be in the bondage before you even know that he's the one that's running the show. Oh, you think you're so cool because you can go to these churches now where you can just sin with impunity and no conviction whatsoever. That's craziness. Why? Sin's supposed to be on the outside the door, not inside. So how are you going to deal with this enemy? Get inside the door. Get inside of Jesus. Keep sin outside the door and expose that sin to light. Then what do? Well, fourth thing, you must drive out sin if it gets inside. Sin's clever. Sin's clever. It's kind of like you got your house sealed off and somehow or another you find a palmetto bug or a cockroach in there and you think, now how in the world did that thing get in here? Well, they do. They do. And sin will get inside and it's not supposed to. And what do? You drive that sin out of your life. Get it out of the inside of there. Don't pamper it. Don't hide it. Don't mess with it. Get it out. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Proverbs chapter 28, in verse 13, he says this, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I've noticed when people get sin on the inside, what they do is they put a thicker cover on the outside to hide that sin. Well, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So, you know what you need to do? You need to, listen, if you get sin on the inside, you need to put on the gospel boot and kick that sin out of your house. That's right. It doesn't belong there. If you somehow or another came home one day and found a burglar in your house, you know what you need to do? You need to throw him out. Because why? Sin only comes into your house for one reason, to steal and to kill and to destroy. Just like the father of that wickedness, the devil. Those are the characteristics of the devil, to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what sin is doing in your house. You say, well, he gives me so much pleasure. Yep, only long enough to make sure that you're very comfortable with him being around, and then he takes over and steals and kills and destroys. You know what you need to do? You need to take up arms against sin. That's the whole armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, your loins girt about with the truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and there's nothing on your knees, although there are usually leg greaves, because you're supposed to kneel to stand. You pray. Take up arms against sin and kill it like you would an intruder. Defend yourself and defend your family. I mean, right now, you have home protection? You got some sort of gun in your house? Because you don't want an intruder coming in there and stealing your kids? You don't want somebody in there raping somebody in your family? You don't want somebody in there stealing valuable assets that you own in your house? And so you've got a shotgun or you've got some sort of pistol or some sort of several things you've got in there to kill an intruder? Is that how you defend your house? Why wouldn't you be as well armed against sin? It's the same thing. It's an intruder. It doesn't belong in your house. You have to defend yourself and your family against it. Find the way that sin is getting in and seal up the entrance. You know, years ago, a preacher friend of mine was going to visit a fella lived on the second floor of an apartment complex where the balcony, all the apartments entered, you know, exited out onto a balcony, and then you walked off, like kind of like at motels. And I mean, that guy was walking down that balcony to go into this fan's apartment, and the man came flying out the door with his television, threw it over the balcony, and looked up and saw the preacher. He said, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" He said, "Man, what'd you just do?" He said, "I got rid of a burglar. Come on in." He said, "What's up?" He said, "That thing right there was stealing my kids. So I threw it out like I would an intruder." Now, there's a wise man. You find the way that sin is getting in and seal up the entrance. Be vigilant against this wicked enemy. You've got to hunt him down and put him down. Why? Because the Bible says you are to rule over sin. He's not to rule over you. Why are you so passive against your killing, stealing, destroying enemy? You say, because I like him. He's pretending to be a friend, and we're pretty good buddies. I like to drink. I like to smoke. I like to chew. I like to watch those nasty things on television. You know what? He is not your friend. He is inebriating you with pleasure until he can rip you off. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. You know, they say a lot of the problems in corporate theft are inside jobs. That's sin. That's the way he works, right there. So imagine your house, your life like a house. That's what you want to imagine here. Imagine your life like your house. First and foremost, get the security door. Get Jesus Christ. Get on your knees, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Put him out there on the front of your house and lock that door. And don't let sin in. Then remember to keep sin on the outside. You got something going in your house? Remember, hey, keep it on the outside. Turn on the lights. Get plenty of Bible. Get plenty of good preaching. Shining so you can spot sin. And then if he gets in the inside, you kick him out. If he's in there right now, kick him out. And just as soon as you hear the end of this broadcast, you find out where that sin has entered. Go to the refrigerator, go to the television, go wherever it is, and get it out of your house. Because it doesn't belong there. Otherwise, he'll take over and run the show. And I know you don't want that. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.